Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
Today we're talking about a love that heals, a love that heals. And I want to start at Psalm 34:19. It says, "The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time." And the reason this scripture is so great is because it tells us there's going to be some things in life that are tough as a believer. No person is exempt from these things, but he's going to walk us through it. And we touched a little bit on this last week, where we discussed how it's already determined that no matter what we face, no matter how hard it is, no matter how terrible it seems, that we always win. God always works things out for us. And we have this assurance. Psalm 56:8 says, "You keep track of all my sorrows. You've collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book." You know, I love this scripture because it's a very personal thing. It means that God sees all of our hurts. He sees every single tear that we cry. He sees every single thought. He knows our thoughts. And I was remembering, not so long ago when I was a youth, I remember I was going through a really tough time. I battled with a lot of fear, like really bad fear, when I was younger. And there was a season in which I felt very scared and alone. And so my youth group had planned this trip to go to the beach. And we went to the beach, and I found myself kind of roaming off on the shore. And as I'm walking, I had gone a good ways away, I found a seashell. And the seashell said, "Jesus loves you." And I remember in that moment feeling so amazed and just like light, like my spirit had lifted, because in that time of me feeling so alone, although I was surrounded by love, surrounded by people, I felt that God saw me. God saw me in that moment. And I just feel that somebody needs to hear that today. The first thing you need to hear is, number one, God sees you. God sees you. No matter where you are, always, he sees you. He sees your heart. He sees your need. And he knows our innermost thoughts. He sees every tear, every private frustration, the things that we haven't told a soul, he sees and he knows. And sometimes we can get to feeling like somehow God is disconnected from what's happening, or we question his love because of our pain. But that's when we need to approach him most, right? Scripture says God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So he's looking for reasons to bless us. When we seek him, we find him. Scripture also says he won't withhold any good thing from us. So when we're able to approach him and say, "God, I'm going through these tough things, but I need you," he's able to respond to us in those moments. So what do we do? Hebrews 4:14 says, "So then, since we have a great high priest who is entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings that we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." So this leads to number two. Number one is God sees me, and number two is God understands where I'm coming from. The first part of the scripture, if we break it down, it says that God understands our weaknesses. He knows them. The second part of it reminds us that he was flesh and blood, and he dealt with the same issues, the same things that we see today. Maybe it was expressed differently back then, but he dealt with these things, feelings. And the third thing it says is that we need to come to him, that it's where we'll be given what we need to help us in those critical moments. I think sometimes it's easy for us to go into autopilot and not really pour out our complaint or pour out our hearts before the Lord. And then we wonder why we're carrying so much, why we're feeling heavy. We have to discipline ourselves to lay it all before him. Isaiah 53:4 says, "Yet it was our weaknesses that he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down." And then it goes on to say, "But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed." So let's pause. Is there anybody in the room who can relate to a time where you felt you had to carry someone? Because I know, like, if we all did a group project at school, there's always that one person that does the minimal amount of work. And, of course, it's a group grade, so you've got to make sure that it happens. You know, and it doesn't feel good to carry you, not only your stuff, but other people's things, right? Sometimes we can deal with this in our adult life. We can deal with it with our family. You feel like we're carrying a family member, maybe your whole family. Maybe you feel like you're carrying a team at work or somebody at work. The word says that it was our sorrows, all, collectively. Can you imagine the weight of the sorrow of the world on his shoulders? I can't imagine the gravity of that. I can't imagine how heavy that must have felt for him. And he still chose to do it. And I think that's the thing we have to remind ourselves. He chose to take on our sorrow. So it's something we should not be wanting to hold on to. It's something we want to get rid of and say, "God, I want to give you this." He did it so we could be well. So number three, God wants to take my brokenness. He is literally waiting for us to approach him and surrender it. Everything starts with a choice to hand it over. And there's some of us in this room that have endured ugly things, things, unspeakable things, things that maybe you haven't told anybody. It could be trauma. It could be betrayal. Betrayal is hard enough, but it's even worse when it's from family. Some of us have dealt with that. How do you recover from that? It starts with believing that God is not only capable of healing you, but he wants to. Give me a second so I don't have cotton mouth up here. I'm trying to spare you guys. The Lord expresses his unfailing love through the goodness of his presence and other benefits that he alone provides. It's such a beautiful thing. If you've been in the presence of God long enough, you can come in and know that it's almost like a soothing balm, like a medicine. When you come into his presence and you are hurting and you're broken and you say, "God, I need you." The beauty of that ministry that he does to you, the Holy Spirit does to you in his presence, we can't forget that moment. We can't forget those moments that when we come to him, he is a loving, good father who wants to give us the benefits of the relationship that we have with him. Here's a principle to remember. Sustained disappointment is the thief of hope. When we go through multiple disappointments and we don't offload those disappointments, it is a thief of our hope. It steals our joy. It steals our trust that we have a hope for the future. Proverbs 13:12 states just this: "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life." When I think of a tree of life, I think of a beautiful, lush, big tree, like the type of tree that you say, "Whoa, it's so great, it's so big." But imagine, just as much as that is great, the negative reaction of that, like completely brittle, dead nothingness. When there is no hope, it makes the heart sick. It makes everything feel meaningless. It opens the door for other things like depression and just looking at life like there's no reason. It's okay to pray for God to restore your hope. I think sometimes we get things so complicated. It's simple. Simple prayers are powerful prayers. When you can say, "God, I feel broken right now. I need you to restore my hope. Restore my hope." Those prayers matter so much when we're able to. I remember one time laying in bed and I was exhausted from the day. And there was one thing that was really heavy on my heart. And I was just at the point where I said, "I'm too tired to deal with this. I'm giving out." And I kind of threw this quick prayer up. I was like, "God, I can't. I got to give it to you." And I went to sleep. I didn't think about it anymore. And that afternoon, I was able to see how God had heard that prayer. And it brought me to tears because, again, he reminded me, I see you. I hear your prayers. I see your hurt. I see your brokenness. So it's okay to pray for God to restore your hope, restore your joy. That was one of the prophetic declarations for this year. Unspeakable joy is coming to this house. So we have to take action to get the results. Unspeakable joy is coming to this house. This is a year of action. We want to advance with hearts that are free and clear. There are places that we want to go that we can't go with that baggage. We can't go with heavy hearts. Number four, I need to be a good steward of my heart. Stewardship goes way beyond money. People always think of stewardship in talents and what you got, you know, but it goes beyond that. Do we steward our hearts well? I kind of think of our heart as a home. It's a house, and it's got lots of rooms. And in one room, you've got family. In one room, you've got different relationships. In another room, you have maybe some pain, some things that have happened from past hurts. And sometimes we take and we close that door, we lock it up, and we don't go back to that room. And we do with all these other things, and we look good on the outside, but then there's a trigger that one day we realize, wow, where did that come from? I thought I was good from that. But no, because it's like the proverbial picture that you see when someone sweeps dust under the rug. It's not really clean. You just moved it. You covered it up. So it's important that we open these areas up. This is why one of my prayers all the time is, God, if there's anything in my heart that I'm not aware of, shine a light on it. Bring it to the surface. Let me see. Let me know. Let me be aware. I give you all of me, because there are things sometimes that we push down, that we push to the back, because we don't want to deal with them. And it's important we live with open hearts before the Lord. So I need to be a good steward of my heart. We don't want to be just functional on the outside and in emotionally dysfunctional on the inside. Psalm 139:23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." This is an actual prayer. We can learn from this prayer. God, if I'm harboring anything that I don't need to, show me, help me walk in healing and freedom. Number five, daily maintenance of my heart is vital for where God wants to take me. It's not a one and done deal. It's not a thing that you offload now and you 6 months from now, something else comes up and then you're like, oh no, it's a daily thing. And the reason it's a daily thing is because it's the little foxes, like the word says, that spoil the vineyard. It's the little things that kind of add up over time that then create this compounded thing. So when we're able to come before God and say, Lord, I want my heart to be in right standing with you every day. God, if there's anything that I have been harboring, if there's anything that I'm frustrated with or that like secret pains or anything like that, God, I give it to you. We have to resolve that we will not live in a broken state. We know we can look around and see there's a lot of brokenness in our world, a lot of brokenness in people where it seems like they're doing well, and then you see they were not well. And for believers, it should really be different. For us, it should be we live so openly before the Lord, we allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in our lives daily, that we know that we have hope. We know that we have joy. Yes, we go through things. Sometimes we get knocked down, but we should never stay there. So we've talked about pain. We've talked about disappointment. I can't leave out unforgiveness. Huge. Number six, unforgiveness will stop your growth. It's hard to advance if unforgiveness is in your heart. Get rid of it as fast as you can. It opens up a world of negative things. And the word says it. Ephesians 4:31 says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." So everything you see at the beginning of that scripture is all a opposite of the forgiveness aspect, being kind and tender-hearted. When we don't have our hearts at that tender place, which once you've been through some things and you've been attacked and you've had some painful situations, what is our normal mode of operation? It's like, get the walls up. I'm going to now create the shield, and I'm going to be very careful. Yes, we should guard our hearts. No, we should not be guarded at all times to the place where we cannot love again, where we can't help others again. The love of Christ is one that compels us to love others. If we think of the way that he loves us, the way we mess up every day, we do the same dumb things over and over, and yet he's so willing, so loving, and just to forgive us and wants to receive us again. And he says, I don't remember, you know, what you've done in the past. We start new. It's a clean slate. My prayer is that we're able to adopt that into our own lives and say, God, even though I've been hurt, God, I pray that you would restore me to a place that I can love again in the way that you love me. I can show mercy the way that you love me. I can be full of grace the way that you show grace with me. So it's time to let go. It's time to heal. God is not only capable of healing. I say that again. He wants to. He's the restorer of our soul. His love is so great for us that he took the weight of the world upon himself so that we could walk in freedom, so that we wouldn't have to walk around with pain. And I'm here to tell you, I have witnessed people. One specific case, I can remember it right now, of a man who had been abused for years by his father. And he carried that, and he looked well on the outside. And I remember one day, he came to church, and he came up to the altar, and he let out this cry that was from his soul. And from that moment on, he said he was completely liberated from all of that past trauma. And in fact, his relationship with his father was restored. And it was such a beautiful thing to see years of something that had broken somebody, that had hurt their heart, come together in a moment where God expressed his healing just like that. There's things like that that happen every day. Do we have the faith to believe that God is a God of suddenly moments? Because there's also, sometimes he takes us through a process, and that's okay too. And I've seen people come out stronger, powerful through that process. But we have to be willing to take that step. We have to be willing to open our hearts and say, God, I'm willing. I want you to take this from me. I want you to heal my heart even better than before. Let's be willing to surrender. Let's be willing to let him do the work, because this is our time to advance. This is our time to begin the healing process. His love, it's his love that heals us. We can't do it on our own. There's not enough self-help books. There's not enough words that a psychologist or psychiatrist or whatever, or even just talking, can do that will replace what the Holy Spirit can do. The Holy Spirit is all-powerful. He is the one that ministers to us. Jesus is the one who paid the price for us so that we could really be set free. So I want to encourage you today, there is nothing beyond repair before the Lord. There is absolutely nothing. No disappointment, no failure, no hurt, no trauma that is beyond God touching your heart today. I really, really believe that, and I want you to know that it's true. So as we prepare our hearts for this moment, let's close our eyes. God, I thank you for this time. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are working among us, God. You are here to lift the heavy burden. You are here to restore our souls. God, we don't want to be people that walk in brokenness. You desire that we live in healing, wholeness, wellness. You desire that we prosper as our soul prospers, that we be in good health. We thank you, God, today for loving us the way that you do. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would expose anything in our hearts that is not like you. Bring it to our remembrance. Bring it to the surface, God. And I pray, Lord, that if there's anybody that is feeling inhibited by anything that would cause them to feel like they shouldn't address this, God, that you would remove those things. I thank you, God, that it is today is a day of healing. Today is a day of purpose and advancement. You've spoken that you want to give us your joy and your peace. And Lord, I thank you, God, for right now uprooting everything that is not like you. God, we give you our minds. Let the mind of Christ be in us. Let us no longer think, God, on our own, but let us be led by your Spirit. We will listen to you, Holy Spirit. Open our ears to what you're saying to us and only what you say. God, I thank you that also our hearts would be in the right position. Let our hearts be in right standing with you. We first ask for your forgiveness. God, we repent of not depending on you. We repent, Lord, of trying to do things in our own strength or trying to self-medicate things, Lord, that we should have let go a long time ago. God, we give it to you. We surrender. Can you say that with me today? Say, I surrender all. I surrender my heart. I surrender pain. I surrender any trauma. I surrender any unforgiveness. I choose to forgive today. I choose to let go of past disappointments. God, I receive your joy today. I receive your hope today. I receive you, Holy Spirit, to do what you want to do in my life. I give you full control, God. And I thank you, Lord, for healing. I receive your healing today. In Jesus' name. And with your heads bowed, I just want to give everyone an opportunity. Maybe you feel like you need to just start this path over with the Lord. Maybe you feel that you should be closer to where he is. I want to pray with you today. I also want to pray with those maybe that they don't have a relationship with the Lord. I'm going to say a prayer. I want everybody to say it with me. God, I give you my heart. I realize that I need you, that I can't do this journey on my own. I repent of everything that's not like you. And I receive your forgiveness. I receive you, Holy Spirit, to walk me through this life and guide me. Jesus, I thank you for paying the price for me. Walk with me on this journey of faith. I receive it in Jesus' name.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.